And when the wrong angel shows up, when the wrong angel, I read in the Bible in 1 Kings 19 about a prophet whose name was Elijah. And he got a little fearful and discouraged, and he went and sat under a juniper tree. Remember that story? Afraid of Jezebel, what she had said. And he had prayed for the Lord to take his life. He said, just send the death angel my way. Amen. Then as I was reading, I think Thursday night about 1 o'clock when the Lord dealt with me about this little message, I was reading that, and I seen that, and I thought, man, here he's asking for the death angel to just take him on into glory. And then the very next verse, the Bible said, and the Lord sent an angel to minister unto him. That's in 1 Kings 19. And it was the wrong angel. He didn't ask for the angel of help. He asked for the death angel to come. Huh? You see that? And so I want to preach on when the wrong angel shows up. I need your help. Turn with me to 1 Kings 19. Let's read. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, talking about Elijah, when he saw that, he arose, he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Wow. Is this the same Elijah that called fire down out of heaven and had 450 prophets murdered, slew them right there? And one little woman rises up named Jezebel. He's running for his life. Amen. He goes 100 miles away to Beersheba. He leaves his servant there, and then he goes a day's journey. He's into it. He's feeling blue. He's feeling low. He's down. He is just, I'm through, Lord. Just come get me. Let's send the old death angel and take me on to glory. It's enough, he says. And then in verse 5, the Bible said, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I just imagine Elijah saying, this ain't the angel that I asked for. So I want to preach on when the wrong angel shows up. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. I appreciate the witness of the Spirit here tonight, Lord, because I was in a twix here, which one to preach. Lord, this is what I have this morning, and this is what I've got tonight. And I pray, Lord, as I step out of here trying to follow the leading of the Lord, that you'd give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech and help me to say tonight exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say, nothing more, nothing less, in Christ's lovely name. And everybody says, amen. I want to try to preach, endeavor to preach on when the wrong angel shows up. You know, Elijah is one of those Old Testament Bible characters that just absolutely is just a profound Old Testament Bible character. Matter of fact, the Bible doesn't give us any reference to his mother. It doesn't give us any reference to his father. Matter of fact, he just comes on the scene in chapter 17 of 1 Kings in verse 1. And one writer said it like this. He said, Elijah was a shock treatment, an exclamation point, a dynamite, no nonsense personality. He saw things as only right or wrong. It was Jehovah or Baal to the prophet Elijah. You got to understand that there was a couple there named Ahab and Jezebel, and they were turning the people's hearts to worship Baal. And Jezebel was one more woman. I'm telling you, she had a way about her, did she not? Matter of fact, Jezebel is probably one of the most famous women in the entire Bible, probably besides the mother of Jesus, which is named Mary. But the sad thing about it, Mary is known for her purity. Mary is known for righteousness and finding favor with God. But Jezebel, amen, she is known as one of the most hideous, wickedest, vilest ladies of the entire Bible. But how many knows you can actually learn a good lesson from a bad person? Huh? Amen. So here comes Elijah. It's right or wrong with Elijah. It's Jehovah or Baal. There's no middle ground with him. No toleration of evil. He was ever confronting people about their sins in his life. He confronted kings in their palaces and a vast crowd in the great contest on Mount Carmel in chapter 18 of this book. He sternly challenged idolatry with a strong, sanctified scorn. He fearlessly denounced leaders by announcing, amen, right to their face, their death and the end of their dynasties. That's Elijah. Not only did Elijah speak out sternly and forcefully against evil, but he also dealt out deadly blows of divine judgment. Help me, Holy Ghost. He prayed for and announced a devastation, amen, drought for Israel. He ordered 450 prophets to be put to death and slain on Mount Carmel. He called fire down out of heaven in his 63-word prayer. Amen. He was a deadly foe to every evil of his day. Amen. He appears suddenly right out of the pages of the Bible. I mean, just all of a sudden, you flip down to chapter 17, verse 1. Don't know where in the world he came from. Don't know anything about his past. But he's looking Ahab right in the face and telling him it's not going to rain. There's not going to be dew that comes up from the earth until I say so. You're talking about a man that was fearless. Amen. Elijah, thank you, amen, was a fearless prophet, amen, a man of God. But I want to share something with you. James, verse 17 of chapter 5, amen, tells us that he was just a man. Amen. He was just a man. The Bible said it like this: Elias was a man subject to like passage as we are. Elias was a man. Huh? Amen. He was a man. He wasn't a superhuman. Amen. When you read chapter 17 and you read chapter 18, you look at Elijah and you think, man, he's almost like a Christ. I mean, he is just bold and fierce with his proclamation of truth and against sin. Amen. But the fact is, in this text that I read in chapter 19, all of a sudden the human side of this man of God manifests himself. Amen. He just, the prior chapter, amen, called fire down out of heaven. Amen. Stood right in the face of Ahab, challenged Ahab, and said, if it's God, let us worship God. If it's Baal, let's worship Baal. Let's put to the test. Amen. Build you an altar. Amen. Put you some bullocks on there. Amen. And I'll give you first chance. You call on your God, Baal. Amen. And if he calls, fire down, and we'll worship him. And let the God that answereth by fire be God. Amen. Matter of fact, you got to see this. Elijah was such a man that early that morning they started out, amen, and they had their altar ready. They had their bullock there, and there they began to call on God. And about noon, Elijah was such a fearless man that he went over one man against 450 and fearlessly began to mock them and scorn them. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God's somewhere on vacation. Maybe he's, amen, just do it. Why don't you try, cry a little louder? Just mock them. Well, the Bible said that they did. They even began to cut themselves. Huh? amen, trying to get their God's attention, amen, but to no avail. And of course, we know the story, how that then Elijah takes it on. Brother Jonathan preached on this a few weeks back here. But then Elijah comes on the scene, and amen, he repairs the altar, and he said, all right, we're going to do a little bit different. I want you to dig a trench around here. I want you to go to get 4 barrels of water, amen, and pour water in that trench, and I want you to go. They do that, and it soaks it all up. Now, they've been in a drought for 3 years, and it goes again. He said, I want you to go bring some more water. They bring some more water the third time. Bring some. So it was saturated, amen, with water, amen. But all of a sudden, in chapter 18, this man of God begins to pray his famous 63-word prayer, amen. And all of a sudden, the Bible said in verse 38 of chapter 18, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I'm telling you, this was a man of God. This was God's man. Amen. And all of a sudden, when they see that, amen, all of a sudden, Elijah says, amen, you take those 450 prophets of Baal, amen, take them down to the, amen, Kadesh there and slay them. He had 450 prophets of Jezebel slain right there. I'm talking about he was a man of men. Amen. He was a man of God. And all of a sudden, he began to pray, and God sent a thundercloud of rain. Amen. And the mighty name of Jehovah was being lifted back up, amen, there in Israel. But there was one thing, amen. There was a woman who did not like what was going on. She didn't think about it, amen. She didn't consider. I want you to know our text read, amen, and Ahab come and he started talking to Jezebel. Ain't that just like a henpecked husband? Phew. Honey, I got some news I want to tell you. You tell she wore the breeches there. I mean, you just, that's a different sermon, but you could just tell it. You could tell she, and Ahab comes and he, now I want you to notice this. Ahab sees this fire fall. Ahab is there. He sees all the water. He sees a fire come down out of heaven. Amen. He sees all of the miraculous things, but still yet he's such a hard-hearted God that he doesn't change. I feel the Lord here. Just hang on. And so he doesn't change, and Ahab comes back and he tells Jezebel all. Now notice what this. Notice, and I never had noticed this, but actually Ahab doesn't tell the truth in verse 1. He said he come back and he told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Well, that wasn't the truth, because Elijah hadn't did anything. Huh? What was it, Brother Joe? Thank you. It was God. But you see, Ahab, he was such a wimp. He didn't want to do anything with Elijah, you know. But he knew if he could stir up a little excitement here in his wife, he knew she was bold enough, you know. So Daddy Elijah, and he told all her all that Elijah had done, huh, and how he'd slain all the prophets with the sword. I mean, and he, in his report, boy, he just ignited, amen, Jezebel's spirit. Let me be careful. Just this week, somebody called me, a pastor called me from somewhere in the United States, including Canada. Amen. And he was telling me a little bit of church trouble going on, and he said, it's this one woman. One woman. And he talked to me a little bit, and so today I text him. I said, read Elijah. Amen. And Jezebel. I said, preacher friend, don't let that Jezebel spirit go cause you to run and resign. Let me preach a little bit. Don't allow that Jezebel spirit in that woman, amen, to cause you to run and go fear and hide somewhere in a cave, because you're finally turning things around at that church and the devil ain't. That's what happened to Jezebel. You got to see the picture. She didn't like it because her prophets had died and the people's hearts was turning back to, amen, they was having a camp meeting, if you will. They was having an old-fashioned move of God, and this Jezebel woman didn't like it, and she sure didn't like the man of God that was in charge. So she sends word to this man of God in verse 2 of this text. And and says, you know, she just throws a threat out there, and so let the gods do to me, and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, talking about them prophets of Baal, by this time tomorrow. And really, the very next verse is an absolute. I mean, you're reading chapter 17, and I have the last couple of days. You're reading. He went down I'll get out here in a minute to Cherith. Amen. How the ravens brought to him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He goes down to Zarephath and the brook dries up, and he tells the widow woman, amen, to make him the first cake first. And he comes on down to Mount Carmel. I mean, just mighty. And then all of a sudden, this very next verse says, amen, that Elijah went, amen, to Beersheba, which was about 100 miles away from this Mount Carmel. The commentator said, amen. And then he got there, amen. And he told his servant to stay here, and I can just see him, amen. He discouraged. You know how it is when you get discouraged. You want to be alone. Come on here. I don't want, you know, put your phone on silent. Take the phone off the hook. Amen. Don't want to talk to nobody. Pull down the mini blinds. Pull down the shades. Don't come to church. I want to be alone. Amen. I'm afraid. I'm alone. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm in despair. Amen. And that's exactly, now watch this. Amen. Because you can learn. Amen. Because some of us, sometimes we go through this. Amen. Even though we're children of God, even though we've got the spirit living side of us, sometimes that human side rises up, makes us fearful. Amen. And then when we get down, we pray for things that we ought not to pray about. You ever pray something silly? Huh? The Bible calls it, James, you have not because you've asked. So Elijah is there. Help me, Lord. He is there. And I want you to notice this. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Now, when I look this up, it said Beersheba is a famous, in encyclopedias, it said Beersheba is famous in that part of the country as being the gate. Even actually a slogan or another name for Beersheba is the gate of the desert. I didn't know that. Amen. And so, and the commentator in the encyclopedia said that this desert that he went into was one of the roughest terrains, the most solitaire, the most solitude. And so, do you see this? I mean, it doesn't seem real. I mean, a day or two before, Brother Earl, he's there facing 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the groves. He had face to face. Thousands of people there. He stands up like a champion, and here he is like a wimp. Amen. But don't be so cruel here, because we've been right there at times. Amen. We've come to church and we've shouted and we've danced and we've got spiritual. Amen. The first little trial comes along. Amen. We go run off and tuck our tail and head between our tail somewhere like a dog does. I think I got that right, or something like that. You get the picture. Amen. And go run off and hide somewheres. Poor little me. I'm so tired of the devil. Just want you to leave me alone, devil. I'm trying to serve God, but the devil just on my track. I'm going to go cry. I'm going to have a pity party. Oh, I'm going to find a little. Shoo. Get real. My Lord. Huh? Folks, in and out, in and out. Get up. Quit running every time Jezebel opens her mouth. Get a little spunk about you. Get a little fight about you. I mean, just quit being a wimp. Huh? I mean, go, oh, God, it's so bad. Just take me home. Oh, God, just. Woo. I mean, wait a second. Does your old Bible say this is Elijah? This can't be Elijah. This can't be Elijah, the one that just prayed. Just prayed, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things. That thou hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire, that ain't the same. Is it the same Elijah? One time he's saying, God, let him know. And here he's saying, let me die. I can't take it no more. Phew. I tell you what. No, I don't mean. I'm not trying to be mean. Y'all know me. Y'all know me good enough to know I'm not trying to be mean. But I'll tell you, we have stuck a bottle in some people's mouths so long. Huh? We've petted and called and petted and called and petted and called, and you almost just feel like saying, will you please grow up? My Lord, get out of that cave. Get out of that rut. You ain't the only one that's had some trouble. You ain't the only one that's crossed some mountains. You ain't the only one that's fought the devil. You ain't the only one that's ever had some marriage trouble. You ain't the only one that's ever had some financial trouble. You ain't the only one that's had some jobs trouble. You ain't the only one. Just get up. You don't got to quit because you have some trouble. You don't got to quit. Amen. Turn your back on God because you have a few tests and a few trials. I'm telling you, got to get some grit about you. Amen. You got to get some, I'll start to say guts, but that wouldn't be the right word to use. But you get my point here. Huh? Elijah here he's coming along and he goes into the wilderness. Now, this is the same wilderness that Hagar went into. Remember that in Genesis 21:14? Her and her child, she went and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Genesis 21:14. Wow. Famous. She was discouraged. She was having a pity party. She was down and out. She was depressed. I'm telling you, listen to me. When you're low, that's where the devil wants to take you. You let somebody get low spiritually, and they'll stay home. One of the signs, am I preaching right? One of the signs of backsliding is they'll stay home. They won't come to church. It won't come where there's the Spirit of God moving. And it's just the devil. I'm not talking about an individual, a person. I'm not trying to be malicious. I'm saying the devil, he knows if he can get that sheep, amen, out of that fellowship of them believers, just stay home tonight. You know you don't feel like going. Just stay home and go over here. Amen. You miss one night, and then the next service comes along, and you want to miss the next night. Are you with me? Amen. Then the next night, then you feel ashamed, and all of a sudden, this devil's just got you over, and it won't be just a week or two. We're to come back to everybody. So-and-so's quit. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. The devil, amen, got him in their low point. Amen. It took him over to a desert all alone. Amen. It just got there, huh? You got to understand Elijah, when you read about him in chapter 17, 18, he's at his highest point. But in chapter 19, he's at his lowest point. And really, that's when you tell where a man's at. Huh? Really? Anybody can be spiritual in camp meeting. Anybody can shuckle and buckle and dance a little bit in camp meeting. Shuffle, not chuckle. But you get it. I mean, anybody can just dance a little bit, you know, and when the crowd's going on and the choir's just singing real good and everything. But it takes that person, amen, that when all of hell breaks loose, every demon in hell has seemed like come to your house, and the devil himself seems like camping on your front porch. Amen. To say, hey, wait a second. I recognize this is the devil here. He's trying to get me in this pity part state. Feel sorry for me. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. I'm just going to go to the garden and eat worms. Amen. And just get you to feel all alone. And I see Elijah, amen, here as he's praying to die. And he's saying, Lord, just send the old death angel by. Amen. And just fly me away to yonder city. But you know what God does? Amen. Right here in this lowest time, amen, God goes out of his way for this prophet that's down and out. He doesn't come with a rod to hit him over the head. He doesn't come with a rock to throw, but he comes in the presence of the Lord, and this angel appears, shakes him, amen, tells him to rise up and get up. You know, sometimes I'm glad when God sends the wrong angel my way. I didn't realize it was the wrong angel at the time, but I'm glad he has. I mean, I've prayed about some things, and I'm glad God didn't answer it, but he sent me a different answer. I didn't realize it was a different answer at first, Brother Brad, but I look back. You've heard me tell the story how, amen, I was about 19, been married about a year, trying to get a job at the coal mines where my dad worked, and all of my brothers and my brother-in-laws and all of my uncles. It was just everything to do. If you was in that area and you got 18, the thing was to do to go to hospital and be in a hospital field or an education or the coal mine. So I didn't want the other two. So it was a thing to do to go try to get a job. And I tried for one solid year, Monday through Friday, before I went to my regular job, amen, in a garage. I went to this coal mine come to try to get a a job. After about a year, they started hiring. They got this thing done. They started hiring. They hired several hundred people, and I didn't get hired. And I remember saying, I remember going through this. I remember going to my Beersheba. I remember leaving and going all alone and walking out in that desert. And I remember saying, Lord, I go to church. I pay my tithes. I don't understand, Lord. Sinner people, wicked people are getting hired. I'm having to work over here, this little job. I'll struggle right here. Amen. I don't understand. But God sent a different angel. Didn't let me get hired right there. A year or so later, called me to preach the gospel. Amen. Sent me full time. And I can easily see now why God sent a wrong angel to my house that day. And you know what? I don't regret it. I was asking for a job in the coal mines, back in the deep mines. I'd have probably got just like everybody else. I'd have got in debt. I'd have built a home. I'd have had a couple vehicles. I'd have been so far. And God knew that. Woo! So if you're here tonight and you're depressed and you're discouraged, amen, and you're wondering, don't, and your prayer isn't seemingly, and your prayer isn't seemingly being answered like you think it should be, hang on, there might be another angel around the corner. Am I making this any, y'all getting this? Lord, Lord, I've prayed, God. I've prayed for your will. I've prayed for your will, Lord. I've prayed about this, God. Why didn't this work out? Why didn't that work out? Amen. And all of a sudden, something else works out. And something else happens. Amen. And almost, I did it personally. I said, Lord, this is just a devil just trying to hinder me. And I thought that about the coal mine. This is just a devil trying to hinder me from being provided for my family. Bless God, this is just a devil. Amen. I'll get a job in another coal mines. And I tried. Amen. It's just a devil. It's just the devil. I couldn't get a job nowhere in a coal. I got a job driving a coal truck, but not in the coal mines. Amen. Amen. But I seen, as soon as he called me to preach, and about a year later, amen, he began to deal with my heart to go full-time event. And I seen, when he did that, it was like all of a sudden, what is it saying is, 2020, or hindsight is what? 2020 vision? I could see easy when I came back through and I looked back, Brother Kobe. I'm just telling you what I feel like the Lord dealt with me about tonight. He's out here in this wilderness, and he sits down under this little juniper tree. Huh? And as he's sitting there under that, he did a wise thing. He prayed, but he prayed an unwise prayer. Huh? And we have, in this prayer, we can see he's a man discouraged. And when a man is discouraged, he tends to see things in a negative light. Huh? When discouraged, we often act in foolish ways. Did you hear what I just said? I said, when discouraged, we often act in foolish ways. Elijah here in this text was physically exhausted from his long trip from Mount Carmel to Beersheba. And in this wilderness, he sat out on a gypper. He went to sleep. Amen. And while he is sleeping, he has a visitor. I want you to notice here. Amen. And there was a moment in Elijah's life. When you read the life of Elijah, the entire life of Elijah, if there was a moment in Elijah's life, Brother Excel, that he needed God to show up, it was right here. And you know what God did? God showed up. He showed up. He showed up right when Elijah was on the bottom. In Elijah's lowest hour, he was not abandoned by God. What did God say? He said, I'll never leave thee. He promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Elijah may have forgotten God in this text. And he actually, no doubt, when I read this, and I didn't mention this earlier, but really what happened, Elijah got out of focus. His misconception, amen, when he was in chapter 18, he was focused on God. But when he was in chapter 19, his focus got out of, amen, sight there. He wasn't looking at the awesome power of God, but he seen this old wicked woman, Jezebel. He became fearful for his life. Huh? And Elijah, through this process, forgot God in his actions. But God did not forget him. He made a personal visit to a discouraged servant. You ought to underline that. He made a personal visit to a discouraged servant. And I'm just telling you, I felt like the Lord said, somebody here, you've asked for sunshine, but you've got the rain. You've asked for healing, and you've had your share of pain. But don't get all discouraged when the wrong angel or the wrong answer shows up. Because what have we heard Sister Paula say, that Sister Veda said? What's one of Sister Veda? God does all things right. Is that how you worded Sister Paula? You said Sister Veda? God does all things right. Doesn't matter what my eyes are telling me. It doesn't matter what my emotions are telling me. God does things always right. Last Sunday night, we left church. My phone rang. Brother Earl and Sister Jerry, I could hear them screaming, crying on the other end, telling me that their grandson was not breathing and praying. We was at the restaurant. We had prayer there. Me and Titus, Shoecraft, Brother Jonathan, we had prayer there. And I said, keep me posted. And he called me back in a few minutes, and he was crying again. And this time I could hear Jerry just hysterical and say, he's dead. He didn't make it. And so I instantly got up, and we instantly went to their house last Sunday night. That's rough. That's rough. When they tell you that he's 22 years old, and they tell you that he's had multiple seizures since he was 9 months old, so over 21 years they've had to live and see their son, their grandson, have multiple seizures. If you've never been around that, I mean, you've heard me tell of Bev, 3.5 of seizures. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine 21 years. I couldn't imagine taking my son to the hospital and them taking part of his brain out to try to solve the problem. And then yet, after it's all done and they take part of his brain out, it doesn't solve the problem. It just affects him in different ways. And you know what? You stand there, and you just listen, and you see the tears flow. You try to think of words to say, but you got to understand something. God does things always right. Huh? You might pray about something and it not happen, and something totally the opposite. When you read this text, and I don't have time to go through it all, but when this angel came and awake him out of sleep, Elijah thought it was over. Elijah said, he just take me on. But later down this story, he asks Elijah, he said, what doest thou here? Get up, for the journey is long. And one commentator said, he said, can you imagine what Elijah felt when he heard that word journey? You mean, God, you're going to keep using me? God, you're going to keep me going? God, you're going to move on me again? Amen. And you'll find this ain't the end of the life of Elijah. Elijah goes on to do much, much, much more miracles. But all I'm trying to say is there was a low time in his life. And you know what God did? God come to him at the lowest time in his life. Amen. Sent an angel. Sent the wrong angel for him. He wasn't asking for that angel. He was asking for the death angel. But I'm glad that God, sometimes he knows what, in all times, he knows what's best. What's the scripture that says, lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. God is a mighty God. Come to the piano, Hope, please. I'm closing. And notice this. Not only was God there when Elijah needed him, but the Bible said the second time he sent another angel, woke him again. Not only was God there when he needed him, but he was there as long as Elijah needed him. Wow. Can I tell you something? In our lowest moments, in our darkest hours, the Lord will be with us.
Huh? The Bible said the angel, verse 5, touched him. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then the angel touched him. You ever have the Lord touch you? That's what happened to Sister Renee this morning. Sister Renee, the Lord just come by, just touched you. I don't have any idea what you're going through, but the Lord just come by and touched you. We've been preaching, or been trying to preach a lot about grace in the last few weeks. That revival, I preached on grace 4 nights out of 5. Grace. Wow. Grace. When you know, God could have, at this time in his Elijah's life, Brother James, God could have said, Elijah, get up from here. You know what in the world's wrong with you? You mighty man of God. But he realized that Elijah was down. He realized he was discouraged. He realized, amen, he needed that comfort of an angel sent from God. Not only, notice what he did, he touched him, amen, and all of a sudden there was a cake baking on the coals. I mean, God provided a touch. God provided a meal. God lit a fire for him. God gave him a pitcher of water there. I mean, everything that Elijah needed to rise up and get some strength, God provided for him. Huh? Amen. Can I tell you that God is here for you tonight? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're walking at. I don't know how low in spirit you may be. But I felt like the Lord whispered to my heart Thursday night about 1 o'clock about this little message. He's come here to find you tonight. Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I tried to endeavor here to obey the word of the Lord. Lord, I wanted personally to go a different route. I wanted to try to reach some lost soul. But then I felt like your spirit whispered to my heart as Cassandra was singing. You preach what I've dealt with you Thursday night. I've never preached this message before. I've studied several hours about it. You probably can't tell it, but I have. But Lord, I pray now that this message fall on good ground. Because Lord, I feel like there's somebody that's sitting under a juniper tree right here in this service. I feel like you're under a juniper tree right here in this service. I know if you're lost and you're backslid, you are. You're in a desert place. Where are you at tonight? You sitting under a juniper tree tonight? What you've been praying about? Anybody here just saying, Lord, just take me on home. Lord, just take me on home. I'm through. I could almost hear somebody praying that. Just take me on home, Lord. I'm through. But the Lord might send you another angel tonight. He might give you strength and add 15 years to your life. You here discouraged tonight? Listen to me. Ain't a doubt in my mind that there's a discouraged, and I don't mean that in general. I know in this group of people, of 50 people, I know there's somebody here discouraged, but I'm not talking in general. I'm talking specific. You've been under a juniper tree for some time. And all you've seen is a desert for weeks. And all you've seen was depression all around you. You've cried till you can't cry no more. I'm telling you, there's help right here at this altar. I'd get up from my seat right now. Whatever I had to do to make my way down this altar, I'd get me some help in this service right here. Pray, church. Oh, God. Let the Holy Ghost help us here, Lord. You're here lost tonight without God, a backslider. This altar is open for you. I would have loved to preach to you. My heart wanted to preach to you. But I've got to be honest with you. I love you. But I felt like the Spirit spoke to my heart. What Cassandra was saying, when I heard those words again, I felt like the Spirit whispered and said, you preach what I've gave you Thursday night. Somebody's in a desert place spiritually. Won't you come right now? Come on. You've been discouraged. You've been depressed. You're not wanting to quit. I'm not saying that. A million miles, no. Elijah wasn't wanting to quit. He wasn't going to turn his back on God. But just the pressures, the circumstances has put him in the place. And he's out there all alone. Pray, church. Brother Simpson, you want me to come up here all by myself? Yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on, get up right now. Come on. Oh, God. God wants to help you. God wants to lift you out of that desert place. He wants to feed you. He's got a cruise of water. He's got a cake baking on the fire right here on this altar. He's going to tell you to rise up and eat because the journey's all long. There's more to do for God. Come on. You might say it's over. No, I feel like the Lord saying no. You might think your ministry's over. You might think your life's just about through. But God's saying, come on. There's more to do. Will you come? I don't usually do this, but I feel like leaning here just for a moment. Come on. Will you step out of that pew? God's talking to you right here tonight. Is there anybody in the house? Huh? Oh, God, when the wrong angel shows up, I believe, and you understand what I've been preaching, that wrong angel has showed up right here in this service. God is here to help you. Preacher, I've tried to get up. I'm telling you, try one more time. Saying hope as we tarry for just a moment. This altar is open for him.
Forsaken by his brothers, didn't fit the scene.
Oh, God. I feel the Lord here. I feel the Lord here.
Cold of many colors, stained with blood.
Come on, get out of that desert. Come on back home. Come on, come on, come on.
Would arise.
Sing it, hope. Sing it.
When God has another plan.
Yes, he does, friend.
Walk on and just say yes. When God has another plan.
Where you at, friend?
Be assured that he knows best. When all your dreams are shattered, rest in his sufficient grace. We don't have to understand.
My God, come on, get up.
God has
ride of this altar. Get up. You're going to die in the desert. You got to get up. You got to recognize it. You got to say, I want help. You got to say, I want help. I want help, God. I don't want to die like this. I don't want to just go into heaven right now. I want to live. I want to get up. I want out of this desert place. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of this desert place.
When God has another plan.
Just another moment. Are you going to come? Make it easy on me, preacher. Just get everybody to come. No, not this time. I usually do. Will you come? Come on. Not that you want to quit. Not like that. You say, Lord, I need help. I need help. My soul is thirsty. My soul is dry. My soul. I got to have help. Oh, I'm in that desert, Lord. I want to get out. Sing that chorus again.
has another plan. Oh, gonna just say yes when God has another plan. Be assured that He knows the rest.
Oh, God.
Open.
Will everybody come?
All
come
your dreams are shattered.
Come on,
rest in His sufficient
Father, I
grace.
Pray you touch
we
the
don't
heart
have to understand.
In the life of everyone here. Lord, I've tried my best
to
listen to your spirit,
plan.
Lord. Little simple thought right here. I believe you like to pull somebody up out of that desert place. I believe you like to pull somebody up out of that desert
only
place.
Only broken hearted. Questions fill your mind. Changes can be hard. I come by God's design.
Will you come?
But if you could see tomorrow with the view from heaven's throne, every unexpected struggle led you closer home.
You prayed for some things and it had happened like you thought.
When God has another plan.
Come on, come on, come on.
Walk on and just say yes. When God has another plan.
Oh, yes.
Be assured that He knows best. When all your dreams are shattered, rest in His have to understand.
My Lord.
When God has another plan.
Yes.
When God has another plan.
Oh, yes.
Walk on and just say
just
yes.
Just say yes.
When God has another plan.
Oh, let the Holy Ghost have His way.
Be
Lord.
Assured that He knows.
Drink of water, Lord, at this altar call.
It starts with a desire planted deep within your heart.
Oh.
You pray in faith and wait for God to move. The time passes and you wonder, did He hear me when I called? Should I have even I've prayed that prayer at all? Never pray a prayer your Father will not answer. He can't ignore His child's honest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if He says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. There comes a time when childlike faith must graduate to trust. Trials come and you're convinced you're on your own. But the teacher's often silent while you're in the hardest test. But who'll answer when it's time with what is best? You're never praying a prayer your father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's honest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. Never pray a prayer your father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's honest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. There comes. Trials come and you're convinced you're on your own. But the teacher's often silent while you're in the hardest test. But who'll answer when it's time with what is best? You never pray a prayer your father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's honest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. Never pray a prayer your father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's honest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed.